Hi, buddy. Welcome to Wednesday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. I'm Horry alongside, as always, take you to three, handed out to our good buddy Phil Benatti, his outstanding show. Behind the bench, the full 3 hours today. Sunbird Sports Show over on 790 tonight. Bulldogs, by the way, on the women's side, playing at SMC tonight at 6:30. And our topic of conversation with Jack Furty coming up is going to be about the game last night for the men against Colorado State. So we'll get to that in a moment. But also remind you, before we talk about our fine sponsors, that as the week moves along for us, you have got the great import of the Final Four, if you will, meaning the Final Four games of the National Football League. In this particular week, bringing us to four teams the next week. And so we will have all four of the divisional matchups for you through Westwood One on Saturday and Sunday. And then, of course, next week it'll be the conference championship games. And keep in mind also we've got the national championship game coming up on the 19th. So a lot of great football coming up and will culminate for us with the Super Bowl in a few weeks at Levi's. I'll tell you all about the upcoming schedule courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, a little bit later on. Remind you, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500, or Precision ENG, or Precision ENG, if you prefer, .net. Tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State when we go over the schedules for both 790 and 1430. Jack Furty with me in just a moment to talk about last night's game, Bulldog victory. Bulldogs, by the way, are home. The men will be home at 4 o'clock on Saturday against Wyoming. Get to all of that in a moment. But first, other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you, starting with Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. See the avocado. Green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Really professional people. Very timely. Very competitive pricing. So anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, leesair.com or 825-533-7825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring guests up on this show and how Phil not only brings up the guests, but also he can take callers from the general public. So mark it down, 559-320-1430. That's the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as the weather goes, that's what Lee's allows me to do every day. Tell you all about it. It is a consistent 7 day where the fog is there in the morning. It will burn off, hopefully, to bright sunshine in the afternoon, as is the case today. High of 62 today, the low of 41, and then we should go 62 tomorrow, 60 on Friday, 62 Saturday, 61 Sunday, and 63 and 64 through next Tuesday. The lows in the mid-40s or lower, nothing in the 30s but the ever-present fog, particularly in the outlying areas, so be very careful. And by the way, as we get through the 7 day, we might have a chance of rain at this time next week. But as, again, the people that know what they're doing with this and actually do it for a living, they will tell you that the modeling and the verifying is not there yet for a potential storm next week. Last I checked, maybe 20% chance right now. We'll see how it changes. Anyway, enjoy it in the afternoon. Be very careful in the morning. And obviously, it's still pretty damn cold overnight. But seasonal forecast, and as I've mentioned so often, winter just continues to disappear in this town in a big hurry, because February was a winter month, at least it is on the calendar, but it has not been a winter month very much anymore as far as what the creature comforts are, particularly in the afternoon. And now we're seeing January, by mid-January, turning into mid-60s or so. By the way, one note here. The Rams are practicing in 80-degree weather today down in SoCal. It will be 20 degrees at best at Soldier Field for that night game coming up over the weekend. That's why you really wanted home field advantage. And we'll talk more about that later on. Okay, the final reminder comes from our great sponsors at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We really appreciate everything they do for us and for sports throughout the valley. And right now, they've got the new Zinger Chicken Sandwich at the KFCs. It's a crispy, hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. And that sounds great to me at 2:10 in the afternoon. It's bold, it's spicy, and as always, it's finger-licking good. So whether you crave spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that delicious KFC crunch we all know and love and have for so many years. So don't hesitate. Jump on by those KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the Zinger Chicken Sandwich today. And also, as I remind you every day, the Tuesday special is still in place, which is the $10 8-piece or 8-tender offer at the KFCs. You also have offers for the Country Fried Steak during the week and for the pot pie. So great food as always at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And we thank them every day for their sponsorship. That having been said, we are ready to go now on the Lee's Air Hotline with our great and longtime friend and basketball analyst, Jack Furtig, who was at the game last night, despite the fact he had surgery on Friday. Jack, you are a true gamer. How you feeling, my friend?
Actually, I'm feeling pretty good, Tony. They said home health care told me I would get 10% better each day. So I'd say they're right on target with that. I feel 10% better than I did yesterday, which is something I couldn't say for many days.
Well, you have run out of hips to replace now. You're 2 for 2, is that correct?
So far, that's it. That's it, 2 hips. And I'm trying to get a spine replacement, but my surgeon, Alex Rizzulli, down in Cedar Sinai, when I said, what I need is really a spine transplant, he said, we're not doing that yet. Okay. I'm first in line when that comes through.
Well, some might argue Congress needs one of those too, but that is a story for another time, Jack, and I'll just leave it at that. That's, well, you know what? You threw that Hagen curveball up there, and I had to swing at it. My apologies.
Yeah,
all right. That having been said, to the more pertinent conversation of last night. A couple of parallels about last night that I find very, very interesting, Jack. The Fresno State game, of course, tipped off at 6 o'clock. The Warriors and the Blazers played at 8 because NBC has that coast-to-coast stuff where they have a early game, our time, for the East that you only see on Peacock here. But an 8 o'clock start in the East, and then you have an 8 o'clock start in the West, a late one in the East where only Peacock has that. So NBC has 2 8 o'clock primetime games, East and West. So it was a chance to watch the Fresno State game. Then I had the Warrior game, you know, as an assignment. And the similarities. The Warriors had a huge lead, and they were up 26 at the half. And as is their wont to do, they immediately left Portland back in the game right away. And at that point, they had to respond, or a team that actually lost a 31-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Clippers a few years back in the playoffs. That team is always out there lurking, and it's always the same thing, Jack, we talk about. If you get a big lead and it gets eroded, you don't want it to get eroded in one big run. You want a team to struggle incrementally. For instance, with Fresno State, if you're up 14, you want them to work to get to 12. The opposition, work to get the 10, work to get the 8, because most of the time, by the time they catch you, they run out of gas, and you're able to pull away again. What Fresno State did last night and what the Warriors did last night was let somebody get back in a big hurry. But they both did the one thing, Jack, you have to do. You have to immediately go on a run the other way to offset both the scoreboard issue, and also emotionally to push that team down. And I thought last night, as bad as it was to see that big run by Colorado State, the immediate 7-point response, Jack, was the reason that Fresno State won that game. I'm talking about beyond the stat sheet, beyond the free throws. Psychologically, I thought right at the time that Colorado State felt they were right there, the Bulldogs did a pretty good job of at least pushing them back at arm's length. What say you about that?
Yeah, it was the big thing. We've got 41-41, and then I think Collins had a basket, and Jake Highbreeder, who now has 41 straight free throws,
right,
made a couple free throws. And, you know, for the momentum was definitely with Colorado State when they came back from 14 down at half and pretty much immediately tied it up at 41. But you're right. You got to have baskets then to cut their momentum and to tell them how tired they ought to be.
Right.
Having come back. But Colorado State's philosophy is to shoot a lot of threes. And the first half, they didn't make them. And then during that run, they were knocking some things down. They have one guy with a headband. He reminded me of a guy you see in, you know, just pickup games on Saturday. You know, a guy could shoot standstill threes, but couldn't do much else. And I think we took advantage of some mismatches, and we took advantage of, you know, getting key points, whether they were buckets or free throws, at the time to keep the game to where you could say basically Fresno State won the game from beginning to end.
Right. Well, and also free throwing, you brought up Jake's outstanding free throwing, one of the best free throw nights ever in the history of Fresno State basketball, never mind beating Rod's consecutive streak or the SMC record. But what can't be lost in that is the rest of the team, admittedly not shooting nearly as many throws as Jake did. The yeah. team itself, 23 of 24 from the line, 96%. Any coach would take that at any time. That's like having five Steph Currys out there. And the biggest thing, Jack, the plus minus of that, you were plus 14 on the line versus Colorado State. So if you want to look at the stat sheet more than any other stat, that's the one where you won the game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, there's no other stat that even comes close in terms of, like you said, plus minus. I mean, you look at the game, you can score one, two, or three, and you better win two of those three if you want to win, unless you win one of them real big. And
right.
I know they beat us on points in the paint badly, but you know, then to go a little off topic, I've never understood points in the paint. I mean, are they really points in the paint? Well, like when Gorey hits that little mid-range shot, kind of a floater, he's in the paint when he's shooting it. But so is the guy who gets a breakaway and dunks, or a breakaway and lays the ball in. He's in the paint. So is that points in the paint, or is it just points in the paint when you throw the ball to your big guy and the big guy scores? Now,
well,
how about an offensive rebounds? If you get an offensive rebound and put it back in, you're in the paint. Does that count as points in the paint? So I never really knew. I mean, I don't know when they add up points from everywhere, if it exceeds the total points, or if it's points that are made when you're going to the paint. So, I don't know. In any case, they beat us badly in points in the paint, but like you said, we turned it around at the free throw line. And, you know, you get a guy who goes 16 for 16. I remember when I was at Tennessee, Tony White had what was he? I think 19 for 19 against Auburn. He had 51 points. He was 17 for 18, I think, against Florida State down in the tournament we played. And when you do that, our first year at Tennessee, we were one of the top free throw shooting teams in the country. We were in the top three. I know that. And, Don DeVoe went and spoke somewhere, and he spoke on, the art of making free throws. The next year, we were one of the worst teams. And the reason was because the first year we had Howard White, and we pounded the ball inside, and he was a guy who could make free throws. The next year, we didn't have good free throw shooters, and we weren't. So the key to being a good free throw shooting team is to get the guys who can shoot them the opportunities. You know, I mean, if we shoot 24 free throws and Jake Heidbreder shoots 16 of them, we're going to have a good night, even if everybody
else
misses.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, and Jack, we talked about this over and over again. You know, Rick Barry as recently as just a month or so ago going off on a rant about guys, particularly big men, who are very bad free throw shooters, the ones that are, refuse to adopt
right.
this underhand style because they feel that it is not masculine enough. And he, you know, talked about how many games are given away because of it. The Warriors had a center in their title year, the first one in 74-75, George Johnson, who was an abysmal free throw shooter, and went to Barry and said, Rick, I've become a liability. And he adopted the underhand style and actually became a 75%+ free throw shooter. Now, Shaq, on the other hand, said, I will not do that. I would lose my street cred. And, you know, it's a very interesting argument, because the idea, again, to quote Herm Edwards, you play to win the game, no matter what sport you're in, right? And one might argue that if you aren't a great free throw shooter, if someone else has a better way for you to go about it, since you're not guarded at the line, it might be a thought to take it. I don't think in this day and age a lot of guys who are poor free throw shooters, Jack, are ever going to change their minds about going underhand. But you and I both know it's actually a better way to shoot a free throw, because it goes up softer. When you're tired late, you don't have to worry about anything more because your arms are relaxed. And the fact that when you flip, if you're a guy with long reach, Jack, you can cut that 15 feet down in a big hurry leaning at the line, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... That's not going to happen, I think, because we're getting farther and farther away from when people remember Rick Barry as a great free throw shooter. Now they just think of Steph Curry, and everybody wants
to shoot him. Right. Well, and again, if you. To the point, Jack, if you can make it, Highbreeder is a terrific free throw shooter. And you're right, you don't want the ball in other guys' hands. The opposition ought to be smart enough to know that. And I know last night they were fouling late, almost unnecessarily fouling late,
right,
when they were down with nine or so, with a minute or so to go, or under 30 seconds or whatever. But still, the Bulldogs were smart enough to get it in Jake's hands. As a matter of fact, I've got to say about this team more than last year. The basketball smarts, the basketball IQ, if you will, of this team is much higher, Jack, than the basketball IQ of last year. Now, look, I'm not talking academically. I'm not talking about anybody personally. I'm talking about the ability to understand what you're supposed to do on the court. This team is much better prepared for that. Is that the coaches, or is that the quality of player you brought in, some more experienced guys from overseas and some guys that just get the concepts better here, as opposed to guys like Aguilar, for instance, last year, that I'm not casting aspersion on his intelligence. I'm just saying on the court, there were times that he was not mentally focused. What is the main factor that's made this team smarter on the court than last year?
Well, it does seem like the influx of international players helps. I know Vance even had said that what he has found, and John Welch echoed this, what they found is that the international player is much more receptive to coaching. So I know coaches are always talking about time and score. I know one of the things I had to do at several of the stops that I made was especially when you're scouting, it's your scout. You're in charge of that team. You're scouting them, is you better know at the end of the game, who do we want to foul? And you look at the stats, you look at the stats, and now because there's so much more statistical knowledge, it'll give you not only the guy's free throw percentage, but what his free throw percentage is in the final 3 minutes of games within 10 points. Now, you know, that's kind of what you want to know is, if a guy's a 90% free throw shooter, but he happens to be 9-for-10, you know, after 20 games, that doesn't really tell you how he shoots in pressure situations. And you better know that the guy who scouts the team, I would think, always knows it. I know I did. You know, we'd come out, and let's say we're down, whatever, 3 or 4, and it's closing minutes of the game. We'd always tell our guys, look, if you got a foul, you know, number 35 and 43 are the two guys, you know, that we want to foul. And and number 3 is the guy we do not want to foul. So, yeah, and there were a couple times you saw that Jake had the ball, that they didn't foul him until they just felt like, oh, we got to, you know, he's just going to dribble the whole clock out. But, yeah, you're right. If you have a guy like that, you're going to win close games. And he missed a couple early in the season, or else he would have been one of the top free throw shooters in the nation.
Jack, the homestand, and I brought this up talking with Paul on Monday. This is a winnable homestand, and it would be the first time in conference under Vance, and admittedly it's a very small sample size, just on his second year, that the team would have swept a homestand in conference. And first you had to get the one you got last night, and I know that Wyoming has played at times good basketball, but I think that the comment that from Monday holds, and that is this is a highly winnable going in, a highly winnable two-game set, a highly losable two-game set. Okay, you got the first one. Your level of confidence, because I think it's a very big deal to this team to not go 1-1. Your level of confidence that at 4 o'clock on Saturday at SMC when Wyoming comes in, that this team is ready for the first time to put a 2-0 against other folks in conference at home.
I definitely think so. Your key as a coach usually is to win your home games and split your road games, conference-wise. And that'll put you near the top of the conference. So, home games are really important. I've said this before. The difference between playing at home and playing on the road is that everything you do well is you hear the crowd and you're pumped up. As opposed to on the road, everything you do poorly gets you pumped up too, or pumped down, I guess, if you want to call it that. And that's why it's so much harder to play on the road. And as meager as the crowds have been at the Save Mart Center this year, they've been really terrific when they're needed. Especially down near the end of the game when it's close, it gets pretty loud in the Save Mart Center, even with the crowd that you have. Now, the crowd, if we could pack that place, or even if we just packed the lower bowl, which is 10,000, right. I think it would be such an advantage in terms of more wins at home and making it a much tougher place to play. So, we'll see what happens. I think, if they do win, that the people like winning. I mean, people want to be associated with winners. So that's where we are now. And I think that Wyoming is a winnable game. And I think the guys are looking at it as opposed to let's win one so the season's not so bad. Let's win one so we can maybe go on a roll. And Vance is the one who's, had proposed that. He said, I think we're really close. And if we can get one, I think that can turn into 2, 3, or 4. So, let's hope that's right.
Well, look, you brought it up to me at the start of the year. This is not the greatest year of the Mountain West. Just talking that the national telecast, which are rare national telecasts now for Fresno State this year, which is kind of jarring for people. But the game at CBS Sports Network, they were talking that if the playoffs, if the NCAA started right now, understanding somebody's going to win the conference, but saying if you're looking at larges only, Utah State is probably the only sure bet. Now, San Diego State may get in the base of their history, but the bottom line is the days of 4 and 5 deep in the Mountain West are not there, which creates the window of opportunity, Jack, and I think you can make the argument, since the Bulldogs will not see San Diego State again now in the quirk of schedule unless they bump into them in the conference tournament. They have the trip to Logan still, but outside of that, and I know the rigors of the road are always there. I get it. But when you look at this, do you say that the game against Utah State here, the one at San Diego State, two of the bigger tests that by and large, the vast majority, the remainder of the games, home or road, are at least a legitimate winnable opportunity? I'm not saying they're going to, particularly on the road, but is it more than just keep it close? I mean, do they have a legitimate chance, if they stay healthy, to be able to win more than their share of games the rest of the way in conference?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you look at Colorado State. I think they lost to Utah State, 100-58, something like that. That's not normal for Colorado State. So it seems like the guys took advantage yesterday when they led start to finish pretty much. So, yeah, I think so. I think each one of the games is winnable now, especially the way that not only are the guys shooting well, but they seem to be shooting well early and not depending on one guy to make the shots. You know, yesterday I think DJ Douglas had the first three-pointer of the game, and then they kind of spread it out. I know Jack Manny knocked one down. It was just Bastion Reber made a three. And when you do that and you're spreading the floor, you can get the ball inside to your big guy, who didn't look particularly strong last night. Wasn't one of his better offensive games. Defensively, was, you know, rebounding machine as always. Got his eight defensive rebounds and 12 rebounds, that Wilson Jocks did. But, if they're shooting like that, especially early, where you're not getting down and digging yourself out of a hole, let's say like San Diego State, yeah, you're going to be involved because your confidence is going to build your confidence picks up as you keep making shots. And when you see other guys make shots, they always say shooting is contagious, and so is bad shooting. So as long as the guys start making them and spreading it around, you spread the wealth, you spread the floor, you got a lot more things going for you. Because one thing about Wilson, although he's not a great offensive scorer, he's an excellent passer. They'll find the open guy if double-teamed. And I think last night you're finding teams are trying to go maybe without double-teaming them and seeing how that works. So, yeah, I think the future is much brighter than it's been. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know this. If he stays healthy, Jake is going to be solid every night. You also know, as we've talked, the defense is going to try to take him out the best they can of the offense. There are no secrets in conference, and there's certainly in the day and age of the Internet, as we've talked, even in non-conference games early on, all people have to do is go to the app, and they can see what's going on.
Right.
So Jake is going to be a factor as long as he's on the court, whether it's he's scoring, playmaking, or more particularly spending a lot of the defense's energy trying to take him out. So we go to a guy like Gorey, and I think redoubtable is the best word for Dejan Gorey. I'm not so sure, Jack, that anything particularly bothers this guy. I mean, you know, you talk about he doesn't have a great shooting night, but, I mean, 7-15, nothing wrong with that. But 10 rebounds and just, he's a guy who just does not seem to be bothered by the moment at all. He was 0-4 from 3. I know, you know, you've talked about this with guys that who shoot threes that sometimes you maybe wish they didn't shoot quite as many. But it is part of his game, and it's really hard to criticize anything he does because he brings such incredible energy to the team. It's really extraordinary. In his 14 last night and the 10 boards, absolutely critical to Fresno State winning the game. In 37 minutes, by the way. 37 minutes on the floor.
Yeah. And his attitude, and Vance was thinking about taking him out of the starting lineup at one time. So he's earned his way in. The one thing about Gorey, I listened to a post-game interview with him. He had a great game. And one thing, I don't know if it was Q or Paul, had said to him, the one thing we could point out is your free throw shooting was abysmal tonight. How do you think you can change that? And he looked and he just said, get in the gym. So he's a guy who's going to work. He knows what he has to do. Pretty humble. He knows what he has to do. And he just he had an amazing tip in and an unbelievable off a lob pass that was behind him. And he throws the thing in. One of the reasons is because he can jump a foot over the rim, and that was the highlight of the night, that play. And it shows the athleticism he has. And it's funny, he had a basket one time when Wilson Jocks couldn't have been much closer to the basket, and he missed his shot. And here comes Gorey, tips it in on the other side. So, yeah, he's been he's been a find, you know, if you want to talk about that. And unfortunately, if you, you know, you ask people now, the big thing now, a big statement after games is, boy, he's made himself a lot of money.
Well, that so. Yes, and that's where I was going, Jack. And we talked about it last year in a game at Utah State where you had somebody lighting it up, and that was your comment, that it wasn't lost on the Utah State alums watching that game in person in Logan. And, you know, and then you see what happens a year later. You know, you hope somebody like that who really gets indoctrinated into a system understands the benefit. It's also, as we've talked, the great frustration of the day and age that we live in college sports with, you know, whoever has the biggest pocketbook and sometimes determine things. But for the right now, I did want to ask you about Collins' game last night. Now, he didn't play against San Diego State, and I know he retaped last night during the game. 31 minutes, Jack, 3-9 from the field, not brilliant, but I thought overall it was a solid game, particularly 5 assists, just 1 turnover. That's a ratio that Fresno State would take every single night from their point guard, correct?
No doubt. You can get a 5 if you can get 5-1. I mean, you're happy if you're if your guy's 2.5-1, and that's double. So and also with the emphasis that Vance has placed on taking care of the ball. You know, I mean, there's some guys who really don't care. When Westhead, you know, was doing his thing at Loyola, taking care of the ball, he knew he was going to have turnovers because he was going to have a lot of possessions. John Chaney used to hate turnovers just took a piece of his heart every time. He used to say, I hate turnovers because they can't go in. I'll take a bad shot over a turnover any day because bad shots have a chance to go in, and bad shots you can rebound. Turnovers, you're just handing the ball to the other team. And, you know, for a guy like Collins, who's going to have the ball in his hands the majority of the possession, if you can get him to limit his turnovers, that's a major factor. That's one of the biggest keys to being a successful point guard, is limiting your turnovers. You're going to have some because that's the game, but if you can limit them, especially to one in 30-some minutes, that's going to be infinitely better than what you've had in the past.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Jack, is something that I've seen happen a lot. When whatever the derivation might be, in Vance's case, of course, it's the dribble drive offense, but there are different machinations out there about structurally how you do this, that there's a constant, and the constant is, and you and I have talked about it, that you're trying to structure an offense where you're either shooting threes or layups and dunks, no mid-range. But I have seen now, and I've seen it with Fresno State now too, I've seen coaches in that philosophy start to alter it a bit as we get more and more into the three-point happy situation. And I bring this up because about the Warrior game last night. Warriors are up 26 at the half. Portland makes a run all the way down to 12, and Drew Holiday comes down. Drew Holiday's an outstanding player battling injury, and, of course, obviously had a great, great career, and he's trying to mentor a lot of young guys. He comes down, Jack, and he has a layup, an absolute layup that now will cut the lead to 10, which means they would have put a 16-point run on the Warriors in a big hurry over a few minutes. And he, instead of taking the layup, kicks out to an open three, okay? And the open three is missed, and the Warriors get the board, and the result is the Warriors get an open shot on the other end, and the Warriors end up running 7 straight and pull right back away by 20, and the game is essentially over. The mid-range, and I'm not talking about giving up a layup, but the mid-range where you see guys now pulling up from the middle of the paint, so they have 10-footer, it appears to me that a lot of coaches are now saying, you know what, we're all so three-point happy. If you are a competent mid-range player, even though it's not on my bingo card, go ahead if you're consistent and take that shot. And I'm seeing a little bit more of this with Fresno State. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, no. No, last night, you take Collins and Gorey, and that's a major part of their game now. And Vance even said he kind of likes Wilson to maybe shoot a, 10-foot mid-range shot. He said, I'm thinking about, changing the philosophy on that one, because he has a nice little 10-foot jumper. So I would say that definitely. I mean, you watch the game, and Gorey and Collins last year used to try to take the ball all the way to the basket. And he, he's just a little guy, and he got his shot blocked often. And I notice even this year when he goes to the basket, many times he'll get a shot blocked. But if you can stop Pryor, when you take their size advantage away, and that's one part of it. The other part is, if you want to talk about imitating the game, everybody seems to, like to imitate the pro game, which is why kids, you'll see, get a ball and start taking threes right away now,
right,
because of the Curry factor. But if you think, if you were going to tell people, here's our philosophy, threes and layups only, you're going to take away that 15-foot shot from Kevin Durant or Devin Booker or Jalen Brunson. I mean, these guys are deadly. It's almost like when a guy goes, one of those guys go up for that 15-footer, the other guy says, okay, who's going to take the ball out of bounds? Because this thing's going in, 95% of the time. So, yeah, I think people are going to change. We've said it before, but coaching is a copycat business. And when somebody has success, I mean, they're now calling the NFL the Bill Walsh offense, because he just changed, for everybody. And then as his disciples came down, more and more people were using the West Coast offense. In basketball, the dribble drive was the way to go. But now you're finding out, hey, Deshaun Gorey's going to go 0 for 4 from 3. Boy, when he takes it to the basket, this guy's, he's a lot better. Maybe we're going to allow that. And you notice last night, he's taking those shots that he's not getting pulled out of the game for. So you know it's okay to take them. And I think that's a major part in evolving your offense. And that's what we seem to be doing now.
Well, the other thing about it too, Jack, is particularly, and we've talked about this over and over again, I'm not averse at all to the deep three from out top. But the corner three, which is the shorter three, of course, that corner three is a missed corner three is almost a guaranteed break the other way. And the one thing about somebody who is squaring up the bucket and shooting mid-range, it keeps your defense in floor balance. And we've talked about it over and over again. You get too many guys sucked up in those corners, and boy, I'll tell you what, you better have an off forward or somebody giving up part of his game, because if not, somebody leaks out and you have got his defender in that corner shooting the ball. And if the other guard has dribbled the draw and kick, your floor balance is fouled up. And how many times have you talked about it? A missed three, Jack, from the wing. What does it result in on the other side all the time if you don't get the board, right?
Oh, yes, like an outlet pass for the fast break. But the other difference is when you're shooting those little floaters and those mid-range shots, usually it's a softer shot, which means the rebound's going to be closer and you have a better chance for your offensive rebounders to get the ball and put it in. Like you said, if you're shooting from the corner, and it's not really shorter in college, but if you're shooting from the corner, you figure you got two guys who are trying to offensive rebound, and you got a guy who's on the baseline. So, yeah, you better have those other two guys back, or else you're giving up points at the other end. Now, the softer shot is the way to go, because, and we did something at USC that really helped us. We had 26 offensive rebounds one game against UCLA. And the announcers just kept talking about us offensive rebounding. And one of the reasons was we had three of the top 10 three-point shooters, which meant their shots, if they missed, were going to be close. And you have guys, a guy like Harold Miner, who wasn't really a three-point shooter as much as he was take you off the dribble, who was shooting 43%. Well, 57% of the time, that ball's coming off. And if it comes off soft, you have a chance to rebound. If you have a shot that rebounds out near the free throw line that's farther out than the three guys you have on the team that are near the basket, yeah, you're putting yourself in a tough spot defensively. And you, like you said, your transition defense is you're putting so much onus on the transition defense that, you know, the other team, the other three guys can't get there in time to stop the other team from scoring.
Right. And I was, as you referenced, referring to the NBA, where it's 23-9 up top and 22 in the corners. And as I've mentioned to you many times before, they ought to go back to what they did in the original try of the three-point line that was washed away back in the 50s, a symmetrical 25-foot three-point line, wherever it hits on the sideline, it hits, and that's that. And then you could have an inside-out game if you want to play three, or inside the arc, you could play the old style. And I think the Greg Popoviches of the world would be happy. But I know the networks feel if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, even though the numbers are down a little bit, people still enjoy it. It's just gotten a little bit three-point happy, I think. Yep. And guys have that natural tendency to get in the corner. And one of the reasons is because you can kind of hide in the corner. You got to be really careful if you're hiding in that corner about where your responsibility defensively is at. Because if the guy's leaking out, you're in trouble. All right, Jack, one last question for you. It's always, when you're trying to build something, one step up, one step back, sometimes two steps up, one step back, sometimes the converse. Is this team making enough progress right now where you say, you know what, things are on the right path, or is it still too early to know because you don't want to make more of a win at San Jose or in any home win? What is the most pragmatic, realistic view of where we sit right now with this program?
I think we shouldn't get too far over our skis on this, on the Colorado State win. However, it was probably the best game that a Fresno State team has played in the last couple of years in terms of getting a lead and early and maintaining it, and even when the score is tied, coming out and, like you said, making another run. I would think that it's certainly a lot brighter. The future is definitely brighter. The guys seem to be playing with more confidence. The chemistry of the team has always been there. It's just that now, you know, you want that chemistry to produce wins as well. So, yeah, I think that this Wyoming game is a huge game coming up because it's a home game, because we're coming off a really big win against an 11-5 Colorado State team. And the fact that it's a weekend and maybe we can get more people in the stands, although we are, you know, coming up against football. But, I think if the guys play, if the guys continue to play the way they've been playing against, let's say, you know, San Jose State and Colorado State, yeah, you're going to be much more enjoyable when you're leaving the arena than you've been in the past.
Well, we'll see what happens, Jack. I appreciate it. I hope you're feeling better, my friend. And I'll leave you with this thought before we reconvene next week. And that is, when we hit the pack next year, I realize the networks are going to govern everything as far as game dates. But the old Thursday, Saturday used to be so much better. Everybody was used to it. You get later in the week and people become more aware. The Tuesday, Saturday, and I understand why it's this way, but, boy, that Tuesday game really sneaks up on people coming off the weekend, particularly when football is still front and center, which it will be until the Super Bowl is done. So it's just a nuance that I wish they could resolve, but I know it's going to be up to the networks. Jack, appreciate it. Again, 559-287-3305, FertigJackAOL.com. Join the Timeout Club for men's basketball. Bison, appreciate it. Be well. Talk to you next week. We will take the break and come back with more as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to 252. A few minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench, to pull 3 hours today. You know, he's giving a call on the Leaves Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 794 today and the rest of the week in just a moment. But first, remind you one more time about our buddies at the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. They have the new Zinger chicken sandwich now. It's a terrific, crispy, hand-breaded chicken filet, seasoned just right and served on a toasted bun, red hot with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving. So a great sandwich for you. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that delicious KFC crunch you've loved for all these years. It's always finger-licking good at the local KFC. So stop by, pick up the new Zinger sandwich today, and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the Valley. Also remind you one more time, on Tuesday, they still have the great $10 eight-piece bucket or eight tenders offer for you. And you've got the country fried steak offer. You also have the chicken pies. So a lot of great food at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks for everything they do for us at the station and for the Valley Sports as well. Now, as far as the upcoming schedule, it's brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. One of the great things Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in particular the Lyles College of Engineering, is doing fundraising that benefits those that come through that program. A lot of them go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering, and always the goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and we commend Ed for everything he does for his beloved Fresno State. As far as the lineup goes, today the only thing on either station beyond the local talk, as far as something beyond our regular schedule, it is the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics with Paul Metters on 796 to 7 this evening. Tomorrow, a doubleheader, men's and women's basketball for FPU against Concordia, so stay tuned for that. Phil is with you 3 to 6 each and every day with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. And again, you can give Phil a call on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has the aforementioned Sunbird Sports Show 6 to 7 on Wednesdays on 790, and then on 1430 on Saturday mornings, the long-running Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First Ring Sports. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. As always, way behind on the emails, guys. Again, at this point, I can't spend a lot of time off-air because I'm not able to get to my phone very often. That is, as always, doctor's orders when they rehab the back and all this other stuff. So any way you have to get a hold of me, do so. And in particular, if you email me, I will get back to you at least on air as quickly as I can. Now, as far as the upcoming schedule beyond today, and I mentioned the Sunbird doubleheader. And by the way, locally tonight, 6:30 at SMC, Fresno State women play Utah State. Matt Norville with me tomorrow. We'll talk about that game, also talk about the men's game, and we'll preview a little bit of softball for you as well. Of course, Matt is the voice of the women's programs at Fresno State, in addition to doing a lot of the men's games when Paul has other schedule conflicts as well. So we'll get to that tomorrow. And then for us, the big feature over the weekend, again, the National Football League takes center stage Saturday and Sunday. You have the two games on Saturday, everything through Westwood One, the Bills and the Broncos, and of course the 49ers are up in Seattle. Going to be a blustery night in Seattle, probably rainy as well. And then on Sunday, the Rams have the treat of that late game in Chicago, where, like I said, the Rams are practicing in 80-degree weather right now in SoCal. It's going to be 20 degrees or thereabouts in Chicago, so a big battle there for the Rams with the elements, and we'll see if we can end up with a California NFC championship game. But I think Seattle's going to have a lot to say about that, and the Bears will as well. And also keep in mind, you have the one other game, New England and Houston as well. Those are the four games. And then for us, next Monday, National Championship Monday, we'll have full blanket coverage from ESPN Radio as they kick it off in Miami, a home game at Hard Rock for the Hurricanes of Miami. They're going to need all the help they can get against Indiana. So we'll preview that as well. And I know Phil will talk a lot about it in addition to what we're able to say to you about it. So anyway, thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jack Furtick, Matt Norville tomorrow. Phil is coming up. Stay tuned for the good 3 hours there, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2:05 on KFIG Fresno.